Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're back with CC Clark, the Director of Mental Performance for the Philadelphia Phillies, and we're going to talk about a fascinating framework for mental toughness. She's going to share a unique perspective on how different generations approach challenges and adversity. So whether you're leading a team, building a business, or just navigating personal challenges, this conversation will help you re-examine how you think about mental toughness and handling life's difficulties. But before we get started, if you're a high performer looking for actionable information to be your best when it matters most, then check out my newsletter, Adaptation. This is my free newsletter for people that aren't into fake hacks and bogus science, but want the latest research and field-tested information to become the best versions of themselves. That's you. Check it out. The link is in the show notes. You and I had a conversation offline about the difference between being robust, resilient, and mindful. Can you double-click on that?
Yeah, Preston Klein would be the one to credit with this, but when I heard it, I loved it. So Preston Klein has the Mission Critical Task Institute, worth looking up, another really, really cool podcast. And he introduced this idea and it really clicked for me. He said, we talk about some of the generational stuff, generations value different things. And he's like, so if you go back to like my parents, like 1940s, 1950s, we valued robustness, like the ability to get punched. Like life is going to punch you sometimes. Life is hard, you know, and that's being robust. And he said, and then we came into this era of valuing resilience. Hey, you need to be able to get punched and get back up. And that's really what's of value. And then he said, in today's generation, they value mindfulness. Why would you get punched if you don't have to get punched? Get out of the way. And so avoid getting punched. And some of his points was like, hey, there's a time and a place for each. But understanding that, right? So much older generations are like, people need to go through physically hard stuff. And today's generation says, why if you don't need to, right? So like robust versus mindful. But there are also times where it's like, hey, this is going to be hard and there's no other way to do it. Well, mindfulness doesn't save you there. You have to have a tolerance for the hard, right? Like you have to be able to stomach it. Like that's part of the journey. So I love that. And I thought it actually spoke to like, when you talk to coaches, leaders, and that have these different values, and they look around and say, I don't understand why this person's not doing it this way. They may value a different skill in there. And I would argue that all three actually have their time and place. Using the right one at the right time probably helps you get through the stuff you need to get through or avoid unnecessary pain. But I get it. I thought it was also a wonderful representation of like, yeah, there's a little bit of generationally, we valued things differently.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the sports training process. You have to go through all of that if you want to be good. There has to be a time when you got to just suck it up and take the punch. There's times when, oh gosh, who was the guy that won the MVP for the World Series this year?
Oh, Freeman?
Yeah, his season was like all over the place. Broke bones. His son or child had, I think, Guillain-Barre, like just awful stuff. But he kept taking a punch and kept getting back up. And then guess what? In the biggest moment of his life, sports life, he showed up and was the MVP. I thought that all we ever see is this sliver and you're like, oh, everything's great for that person.
Yeah.
You cost yourself because you just didn't think.
Yes.
And I think that's like the life skills part of things, right?
I think it can be. And I think we battle it sometimes, I think around the tradition of baseball, right? Like, it's always been done this way. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to. So sometimes that can be the mindful piece too of like, it's actually a better way to do it, or the volume here actually isn't serving us. Like the volume may actually be teaching some toughness, but it's not actually getting you better at the skill. So let's stop acting like this is skill development. And let's actually speak to the fact that like, we're trying to build toughness through repetition or something like that. And that may not always be smart, right? Like that may just create more injury. So again, time and a place for each, and they do different things for you at different times, but they each have their value.
If you're enjoying this conversation with CC, please take 1 minute and leave us a rating on the Apple or Spotify platform. If you don't know how to do this on Apple, just go to the Blueprint homepage, and in the Apple Podcast app, just scroll down until you see the 5 stars across the screen. And if we've earned it, please hit those 5 stars, and on Spotify, Next to the settings gearbox, you're going to see three little buttons, and you can leave a rating there. Do you believe that toughness is global or task specific?
Well, I think it could be either. I mean, I think you, like, with anxiety, we talk about state anxiety versus trait anxiety. People that are just trait anxious, they're always, wherever you stick them, that's where they're going to carry that characteristic. Or people that are state anxious, certain things make them anxious. I think toughness can be the same. I think you have some people that have been brought up, learned, have toughness, and have learned to generalize it to great many areas. And you see that kind of as a characteristic of who they are. And I think you have other people, baseball players, like, you can do some awful physical things to them, but, like, man, try to have them do like a yoga class or like read a book, and it's, you might as well have like subjected them to torture. So, like, yes, they're tough people, but ask them to do something that's academic and hard, and they don't look so tough anymore.
Yeah. Decker used to be the one that he always told me, like, the tough, like, people that are generally optimistic, that's something you're looking for, is people with general optimism. But for instance, I mean, you would know better than me, but like the jump school, where is it down in Georgia?
Fort Benning.
Yeah. I mean, you go down to Fort Benning, those towers are pretty ominous, but it's not like they go, hey, the first day you're going to jump out of an airplane. You would have a freak out moment, like more than a freak out moment. But if you slowly inoculate somebody to a stress, then your chances or likelihood of execution are a little bit higher. How do you think we can apply that type of thought process to our daily lives? People that are maybe tasked with something at work that may seem a little bit ominous to them.
I think there's a lot of the stuff around like procrastination or large projects of like, hey, what's a small bite? Where do you start? To your point on like Fort Benning of like, if you're challenged with something that you don't have any competency for, this is when people just give up. They just quit. They're not prepped. They're not prepared. They don't have the capability. And I think sometimes in moments of life, there are big moments, we can feel that way. We can look at the project in front of us or the next phase of life or the next step. It's too big. We don't feel like we have the competency. I think the piece there is, where could you start? So if the option is like quit and fail or start somewhere, try something. I think to Decker's point on like, hey, optimism helps, is like, hey, the optimistic person is going to try something. Hey, I might fail. If I quit now, I fail. So let me try something. I still might fail, but hey, I'll learn something in the process. And I think for people that have bought first houses, taken out first loans, driven across the country for the first time, like done something, built something that they've never built before. When you start in on a project, the first time's pretty scary. And then once you kind of have proof you can do it, it's not so scary anymore, right? Like, you know, you can survive that moment. And I think that's, you know, jumping out of an airplane too. Like, once you've done it and you've landed on the ground and you're okay, it's a little less scary next time.
Last question for you. Let's talk about controlling the controllables. We cause ourselves a lot of stress because we don't take control of the things that we know are coming at us. What are some of the things that we can control when it comes to our mindset, when it comes to maybe our environment, or putting us in a position where we can be our best when it matters most?
I think a key to sanity or handling big stuff in life is trying to figure out like what's within your control and what's not in your control. We can waste a lot of time. We can create a lot of anxiety focused on things that we cannot impact. I do think there's a piece of recognizing that daily habits, the way we live our life, the way we set things up, that's what we're going to draw on. Recognize that the big moment may or may not be in front of you right now, or what you want to do or what you want most. It may not be tomorrow, but the habits start today. And so pay attention to the habits, the small daily things, the things that put you in a good position so that when you need to do something big, you're well prepared for it. But I'd say the other piece on that is figure out what you can impact. And pay attention to that. And sometimes it's small. Sometimes it's the pebble in the pond that's going to ripple. But be thoughtful about that moment where you start. And make sure it's something that you do have influence and control over.
Makes a lot of sense. Cece, I really appreciate your time. I mean, I know what pro sports is like. Every day is like structured to the minute almost. I really appreciate the fact that you would come on the show. If people want to follow you, you're on X, right? That's your social media platform of choice. Do you do LinkedIn at all? I'm curious.
I'm on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's under my name. X is Edge Mentality. And that's my business, my LLC, on both. I'm not the best person at putting out like daily content. Just full disclosure. But yeah, those are both platforms of choice.
you do have a pretty important job. So I totally get that. We'll put all this in the show notes. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time and the excellent work that you're doing to impact lives.
Thank you. My pleasure. It's been fun to be on. Really appreciate your time as well.
Thanks again for listening to the Blueprint Podcast. If you don't want to miss another episode, make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button. And until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.